In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Can we believe it's the fourth Sunday of Lent already? How are we doing on the fourth Sunday? You know, we grew up in the church, like I did, you know, as a boy. Lent was so long, and it was really, once you got into it, it seemed like it went on forever, and you couldn't wait until you got to Easter. So probably just a symptom of growing older. I'm growing older. We're all growing older. But things seem to go much faster now. It's hard to believe we're at the fourth Sunday, and we've already passed the midpoint. On this Sunday, the church gives us for commemoration Father John Climacus. And his name refers to the work he's known for, the only work he's known for. It's called the ladder. So that's why it's Climacus. It's like climb the ladder, climax. It's from that derivation. St. John of the Ladder, we know very little about him, about his personal life, but we do know the work. And in this work, St. John talks about what we call vices and virtues. You know, the vices being the passions, the things of this world that draw us away from God, and the virtues, the things that we embrace that draw us closer to God. So, in one of the hymns we heard last evening, I love how this reads, and, you know, you don't have to know too much about a person to know this, if you can proclaim this about him. This is probably all. This is what St. John, in his work, cries out to us. So this is a message for us to hear on this fourth Sunday of Lent. This is what St. John tells us. Love God, and ye shall find eternal grace. Set nothing higher than his love, that when he comes in glory, ye may find rest with all the saints. That's what St. John is here to tell us today. That's why we commemorate him. Love God and you will find eternal grace. Think about that for just a minute. The grace of God is a gift. We preach all the time how we're saved by that grace, how we've done nothing to earn it. And it's God's love and it's his grace that redeems us. It makes us saved. It makes us children of God. It saves us from death and makes us children of the kingdom. Right? So we all have this opportunity. Everybody is given it. Nobody who does not want to nobody who wants to receive it does not receive it. The only people who don't have it are those who don't want it. That's what we believe in our church. Everybody has an opportunity for grace because Jesus died for all of us, right? He died for every single one of us. We know that in light of that and in response to that, we have to love God. It's the greatest commandment. It's the one Jesus tells his disciples is the first. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You love God. And as St. John here says, put nothing above his love, set nothing higher than his love. Wow. We can't just love God a little bit. We can't rank God, you know, well, he's here, but then I'm busy with other things, and I have other loves and other business to take care of. God wants all of us. He wants our whole being. In our Bible study of Revelation during Lent, you know, we came across that passage where the letter to the church of Laodicea condemns them because Jesus tells them, he says, I wish you were hot or cold, but you're not hot or cold. You're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. See, God has no use for us if we're stuck in the middle. We have to be on fire with love for him. Can't be cold. Got to be hot. And we can't be lukewarm either. So that just goes to show you how much God wants us and how much he expects of us. So what does that mean, Father? What do I have to do, right? Set nothing above his love. Make God's love the first and the ultimate. That's what we're called to do, beloved in Christ. Because it's by God's love for us that we're saved in the first place. We can't do anything without it. We can't do anything in addition to it. We can only respond back to God with love. And what does the gospel teach us about love? Love your neighbor. Love all people. Each and every single person in the world, without exception, treat them as Christ Himself. Wow. Got to treat everybody like Jesus. Because that's the only way we can prove we love God. We can say we love God. We can go to church. We can contribute money to the church. We can do all sorts of things. We could be baptized. We could take our children. We can do all sorts of things that one would think we're a Christian and a follower of Jesus, and therefore we love God. But the one thing that proves it is how we treat everybody else. Think about that. That's why during Lent, we're called to be extra vigilant and extra careful and conscious of other people. You know, how do you treat other people? Kind words. If they're poor, do you help them? You know, if somebody hates you and persecutes you, do you pray for them? That's what Jesus says to do. He doesn't say strike them down. He doesn't say give them back what they gave you or don't take anything from anyone. No, he says take it all. You know, turn the other cheek and pray for them. God wants to save them too. So this is our job during Lent, is to focus on that primarily. That's number one. And then the other two things we're called to do, we hear about it all the time. I'm not telling you anything you don't know today, right? We're called to love God. And then we're called to pray, to be prayerful all the time, especially during Lent. To be vigilant in prayer. It's hard to pray, isn't it? I'm speaking for myself now, nobody else. I find it hard to pray throughout the year. To stand, to be silent, to look at the holy icons, to take everything else from my mind and to speak to God. It is hard. You know, just if you're a priest, it doesn't make it easier. It's really hard. And it's even harder, I think, during Lent, because we have so many things pulling us away. We always have things pulling us away, don't we? But the temptations are amplified during the holy season. When we want to try harder, when we want to give more, when we want to fast, when we want to be dedicated to God, the evil one is trying to pull us away all the time. So don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be discouraged when that happens. It will happen. Read the lives of the saints. They talk about it all the time. The more you try, the harder you want. If your heart's in the right place, the evil one will attack you even more. You know, if you're left alone, then you probably should start worrying. Isn't that funny? You know, if you never get tempted, if you find it easy, well, maybe we should worry a little bit more. But we need to pray, and then we need to fast. And why do we fast? You know, certainly we don't want to think, you know, that we deprive ourselves of things so that we can simply suffer, as if our suffering could somehow atone for our sins, you know, or the sins of the world. One thing atones for the sins of the world, and that's the blood of Jesus, right? Jesus on the cross. That's the only thing that saves us. When we love God and we respond to that grace, we embrace that life. We walk in the newness of life. And the church tells us fast. You know, it's good to fast. It's good to realize how much we are dependent on God. And that's why we do it. I'm going to share a story with you that I experienced. This is, I think, about 4 years ago. The last time we did, the last time we had the Feast of St. George on Bright Monday. You know, our patron saint is April 23rd, his feast day. And most of the times, that falls during Lent or Holy Week, so we can't celebrate it. So what we do is we transfer that to Bright Monday. It's the Feast of St. George, our patron. So it was one of the first years I was here in this parish and had been through a glorious Holy Week and celebrated Pascha. And then that Bright Monday, we had to get up. I think we had a 9 o'clock service. And it's just so strange to be in church after having celebrated. And I call it, you know, fat and happy. I was fat and happy that morning, and I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't focus. You know, I was distracted. Where am I? Why am I here? I couldn't put my heart into the prayers. And this is St. George, our patron saint. But I think that's what it's like, you know, as human beings, when we're fat and happy, we don't need God so much. And fasting teaches us that, you know, deprive yourself. Don't make yourself fat and happy. Be hungry. Be thirsty. Be empty. So that you can realize the only thing that's going to fill you up is God. Right? That's why we do it. That's why we are called to fast. Now, fasting's so easy to neglect in our lives, you know? The way we live, the way we sit down for meals, it's so easy to rationalize not doing it, you know, that we can easily disregard it. But we shouldn't do that. There's great power in fasting and prayer, as we saw in the gospel today. This kind of demon, the one that tormented the boy, Jesus says, can only be driven out by that. By a disciplined life, by a life committed to God. Nothing else above God. Why couldn't the disciples cast it out? Well, maybe they weren't so committed to God, right? They were on some level, but they had other things they were worried about. Money, you know, reputation. Maybe they lacked faith. Lots of things going on with Jesus' disciples in the Gospels. Put nothing above His love, we're called to do. Number one. And if we can do that, beloved, and believe, nothing will be impossible, as Jesus says. So we find it hard, you know, even though time's going by fast. I think it's interesting that we have to make time to appreciate Lent and to feel it, you know. Like I said, when I was a kid, it seemed like you were in it. And everything you did was Lent, and it's all you think about because you're in it, and it's going to be a long time till you get to the glorious day of Pascha, Easter. But now it seems like it's going by so fast, we have to stop and make time and appreciate what it is. This is Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday. It's St. John Climacus. It's a teaching about the vices and the virtues. It's about the ascetic life. It's about emptying ourselves of everything so that we can fill ourselves with the one thing that satisfies, and that's God, right? But sometimes we struggle with faith. Sometimes, like I said, I have a hard time praying, you know, and I have a hard time fasting sometimes too. And then there's all kinds of things we have to consider with family and people. And the way we conduct our lives, we don't want to be hypocritical, right? But think about this. The Gospels tell us, give alms. So love the poor and care for them. And always treat everyone as Jesus Himself, right? That's number one. And then pray. And then fast. All three of them are important. All three of them are given to us as tools, beloved in Christ. If we don't pick up those tools, we sin by neglecting the things that are given to us by God. So I encourage you, engage in the fast. Pray, even if you're distracted, you know. Better to pray, and better to pray small, heartfelt, real prayers than to stand for 20 minutes and not remember anything that you said because your mind is somewhere else, right? That's what we struggle with. And like the man in the gospel today, sometimes we feel like, I want to do it, but my faith is weak. That's a good place to be in, though. You know, really. It's a good place to be in because it teaches us that we have to really rely on God, you know. We don't have faith to move mountains, do we? We want to believe. We believe some, but in our limitedness, we cry out to God, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And what does Jesus do? He gives the man what is needed. He cures his son. He drives the demon out of it. Because the man had a little bit of faith. And because he cried out to the Lord, help me. Help complete it. You know, I'm lacking. That's a great confession. If you never know what to say when you come to confession, think of those words. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know? Let that be our prayer today, beloved in Christ. as we reach the fourth Sunday, as we look forward to St. Mary of Egypt next Sunday, the glorious feast of the entrance into Jerusalem, and Holy Week and our Lord's Passion and Holy Resurrection at the end of all this. And one other thing, I hope this doesn't happen in our lives, but it would be a real shame if we go through Lent and then we get to Pascha and we celebrate and then we kind of forget it all, you know? The praying that we were disciplined in, our fasting, everything we tried to focus on. If we just go back to normal life and this whole experience of Lent and our Lord's Passion and Resurrection affected us nothing. That would be really sad, wouldn't it? I think so. I think we should remember how we pray. We should remember fasting. We should always be kind to the poor and remember to treat everyone as Christ Himself all year round. You know, let Lent form us so that we're ready throughout the rest of the year when it's not Lent to do those things and to be shaped and formed into the image of God as He intended us to be. That's our prayer. That's the message today. Glory to Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.